Well, good evening. It's June 6th, 2023. The time is 18:27 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here with you. This song, now that I've clicked away from it, here it is from 1963. It's by Dusty Springfield, a single, a song that was written by Mike Hawker. It's called I Only Want to Be With You. From 1963. That song I remember well. I was 6 years old, I suppose, when that first came out. In fact, I was. And I don't remember much, but I remember... Well, I remember that was the year... I believe that was the year when JFK was assassinated. I do remember that from that year when I was 6 years old. And I seem to remember this song very well, but perhaps I've heard it many times over the years since, and it was later released also as a single by the Bay City Rollers. The version, let's see, in 1964, well, because it was released late in 1963, the charts for 1964, it was number 21 in Canada, and in the UK, number 4. And the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, it reached number 12. And U.S. Cashbox Top 100, number 14. So it was quite a big hit, which just means they played it quite a bit. From the Wild Road article for today, Little Children, we have Part 2, Chapter 11, Paragraph 2. Have I even read all of it? I didn't get to read all of it, but I read part of it. I know it's a very, very solid chronology that we're looking at here, based on the Trojan War article, which preceded this article. But we'll just see, it should be okay to read it. From the start of the reign of Osiris at Minya in 2765 BCE in Egypt, to the start of the Trojan War in 898 BCE, That would be at Troy, of course. There are 1867 years, or the number, which as a CE date, is the year of Confederation of the Country of Canada. That's 1867 CE. If Jehovah can reveal facts now about undocumented and undated events that occurred so long ago and far apart, then he can do a lot of other things one may imagine. The date of 898 appears to be about 3 years before the end of the reign of Harsisi A at Thebes in 895, or year 12 of Osorkon II, 906. That is before the year 12 of Osorkon, which is that right? Yeah, because it, 906 to 863 BCE. Osorkon's year 12 is 895, so that's right. And that was ruling the Delta region. Harsisi was the son of Shoshank C, a priest that very few scholars believe to be also Shoshank II, who had a valuable intact tomb, but an otherwise obscure reign. Nonetheless, there are a few scholars who do believe Shoshank C was the same person as Shoshank II. The hawk-headed coffin of Shoshank II coincides with an eerily similar hawk-headed lid on Harsisi A's coffin. Seeing as the time of Takelot I, 919 to 906 BCE, that's from Trojan War II, preceded Osorkon II according to Manetho, and that his reign was a time of contested kingship with the king's name left blank on the Nile K texts, or Nile Key texts, during his evident reign, it is perhaps not surprising that Shoshank II is given an obscure place also, as he is believed contemporary. The three kings whom Manetho does not name but gives a total of 25 years between Osorkon I and Takelot I show further the uncertainty of this time period, which may correspond with Amenhotep Zagdur of the Ethiopian king list, Shoshank II, possibly Memnon, of Trojan War fame. Assuming that Tithonus is a famous innocent taken from Troy by Shoshank I on his campaign abroad, Memnon, son of Tithonus, was believed to have been born after they returned to Egypt, Newton says. According to the Greek opinion, or 16 or 20 years after the death of Solomon. Thus, Newton would bring the date of Memnon down to the time of Takelot I, although he also believed that King Menes of Egypt was the same person as Memnon, and that the pyramids of Egypt were built after Solomon's time. Neither of those things being things that we would even consider as being remotely true. In footnote 1, it says conventional historians like us in this place the building of the pyramids as more than 1,000 years earlier than Solomon, and so at odds with Newton. I see another typo there in the footnote. Okay, I'll make a note of that. Our proverb for today, little children, is Ecclesiastes 11, verses 6 through 10. But I'm just going to read verse 10. So remove vexation from your heart and ward off calamity from your flesh. For youth and the prime of life are vanity. And now, from Leviticus chapter 6, and Jehovah went on to speak to Moses, saying, in case a soul sins in that he does behave unfaithfully toward Jehovah and does deceive his associate about something in his charge, or a deposit in hand, or a robbery, or he does defraud his associate, or he does find something lost, and is actually deceptive about it and does swear falsely over any of all the things that the man might do to sin by them, then it must occur that in case he sins and indeed becomes guilty, he must return the robbed thing which he has robbed, or the extorted thing which he has taken by fraud, or the thing in his charge which was put in his charge, or the thing lost that he has found, or anything at all over which he might swear falsely, and he must make compensation for it in its full amount, and he will add to it a fifth of it. To the one whose it is, he will give it on the day his guilt is proved. And as his guilt offering, he will bring to Jehovah a sound ram from the flock, according to the estimated value for a guilt offering to the priest. A guilt offering to the priest. And the priest must make an atonement for him before Jehovah. And so it must be forgiven him regarding any of all the things that he might do resulting in guiltiness by it. And Jehovah continued to speak to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering will be on the hearth upon the altar all night long until the morning, and the fire of the altar will be kindled in it. And the priest must clothe himself with his official dress of linen, and he will put the linen drawers on over his flesh. Then he must lift up the fatty ashes of the burnt offering that the fire regularly consumes upon the altar, and he must place them beside the altar. And he must strip off his garments and put on other garments. And he must take the fatty ashes out to a clean place outside the camp. And the fire on the altar will be kept burning on it. It must not go out. And the priest must burn wood on it morning by morning and see and set the burnt offering in order over it. And he must make the fatty pieces of the communion sacrifice of smoke over it. Fire will be kept constantly burning on the altar. It must not go out. Now this is the law of the grain offering. You sons of Aaron present it before Jehovah in front of the altar. And one of them must lift up by his handful some of the fine flour of the grain offering and some of its oil and all the frankincense that is upon the grain offering. And he must make it smoke upon the altar as a restful odor for a remembrancer of it to Jehovah. And what is left of it, Aaron and his sons will eat. It will be eaten as unfermented cakes in a holy place. They will eat it in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. It should not be baked with anything leavened. I have given it as their share out of my offerings made by fire. It is something most holy, like the sin offering and like the guilt offering. Every male among the sons of Aaron will eat it. It is an allowance to time indefinite, throughout your generations, from Jehovah's offering made by fire. Everything that may touch them will become holy. And Jehovah went on speaking to Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron and his sons that they will present to Jehovah on the day of his being anointed. The tenth of an ephah of fine flour is a grain offering, constantly, half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. It will be made with oil upon a griddle. You will bring it well mixed. You will present the pastries of the grain offering in pieces as a restful odor to Jehovah. And the priest, the one anointed in place of him from among his sons, will make it. It is a regulation to time indefinite. As a whole offering, it will be made to smoke to Jehovah. And every grain offering of a priest should prove to be a whole offering. It must not be eaten. And Jehovah spoke further to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is regularly slaughtered, the sin offering will be slaughtered before Jehovah. It is a most holy thing. The priest who offers it for sin will eat it. In a holy place it will be eaten in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. Everything that may touch its flesh will become holy. And when anyone spatters some of its blood upon the garment, you will wash what he spatters blood upon in a holy place. And the earthenware vessel in which it may be boiled is to be shattered. But if it was boiled in a copper vessel, it must be scoured and rinsed with water. Every male among the priests will eat it. It is something most holy. However, no sin offering of which some of the blood will be brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place must be eaten. It is to be burned with fire. So there are some intricate details of the way in which offerings are to be handled and which ones are allowed to be eaten and so on. It's not a very simple matter, it appears. There are some details that the priests and the people were required to follow. Mark chapter 6 now. And Jesus departed from there and came into his home territory, and his disciples followed him. When it became Sabbath, he started teaching in the synagogue. And the greater number of those listening were astounded and said, "Where did this man get these things, and why should this wisdom have been given this man?" And such powerful works be performed through his hands? This is the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, is it not? And his sisters are here with us. Are they not? So they began to stumble at him. But Jesus went on to say to them, "A prophet is not unhonored except in his home territory and among his relatives and in his own house." So he was able to do no powerful work there except to lay his hands upon a few sickly ones and cure them. Indeed, he wondered at their lack of faith, and he went around about to the villages in a circuit, teaching. Now he summoned the 12, and he initiated sending them out two by two, and he began to give them authority over the unclean spirits. Also, he gave them orders to carry nothing for the trip except the staff alone. No bread, no food pouch, no copper money in their girdle purses, but to bind on sandals and not to wear two undergarments. Furthermore, he said to them, "Wherever you enter into a home, stay there until you go out of that place. And wherever a place will not receive you nor hear you, on going out from there, shake off the dust that is beneath your feet for a witness to them." So they set out and preached in order that people might repent, and they would expel many demons and grease many sickly people with oil and cure them. Now it got to the ears of King Herod, for the name of Jesus became public, and people were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and on that account the powerful works are operating in him." But others were saying, "It is Elijah." Still others were saying, "It is a prophet like one of the prophets." But when Herod heard it, he began to say, "The John that I beheaded, this one has been raised up." For Herod had sent out himself and arrested John and bound him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of Philip, his brother, because he had married her. For John had repeatedly said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to be having the wife of your brother." But Herodias was nursing a grudge against him and was wanting to kill him, but could not. For Herod stood in fear of John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and he was keeping him safe. And after hearing him, he was at a great loss what to do, yet he continued to hear him gladly. But a convenient day came along when Herod spread an evening meal on his birthday for his top-ranking men and the military commanders and the foremost ones of Galilee. And the daughter of this very Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and those reclining with him. The king said to the maiden, "Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." Yes, he swore to her, "Whatever you ask me for, I will give it to you, up to half my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She said, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she went in with haste to the king and made her request, saying, "I want you to give me right away on a platter the head of John the Baptist." Although he became deeply grieved, yet the king did not want to disregard her, in view of the oaths and those reclining at the table. So the king immediately dispatched a body guardsman and commanded him to bring his head. And he went up and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter, and he gave it to the maiden, and the maiden gave it to her mother. when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a memorial tomb. And the apostles gathered together before Jesus and reported to him all the things they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come you yourselves privately into a lonely place and rest up a bit." For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure time even to eat a meal. So off they went in a boat for a lonely place to themselves. But people saw them going, and many got to know it. And from all the cities they ran there together on foot and got ahead of them. Well, on getting out, he saw a great crowd, but he was moved with pity for them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And he started to teach them many things. By now the hour had grown late, and his disciples came up to him and began to say, "The place is isolated and the hour is already late. Send them away that they may go off into the countryside and villages round about and buy themselves something to eat." In reply, he said to them, "You give them something to eat." At this they said to him, "Shall we go off and buy 200 denarii worth of loaves and give them to the people to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go see." After ascertaining, they said, "Five, besides two fishes." And he instructed all the people to recline by companies on the green grass, and they laid themselves down in groups of 100 and of 50. Taking now the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, broke the loaves up, and began giving them to the disciples that these might place them before the people. And he divided up the fishes, the 2 fishes, for all. So they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up fragments, 12 baskets full, aside from the fishes. Furthermore, those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. And without delay, he compelled his disciples to board the boat and go on ahead to the opposite shore toward Bethsaida, while he himself dismissed the crowd. But after saying goodbye to them, he went off into a mountain to pray. Evening having now fallen, the boat was in the midst of the sea, but he was alone on the land. And when he saw them being hard put to it in their rowing, for the wind was against them, about the 4th watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea, but he was inclined to pass them by. At catching sight of him walking on the sea, they thought, "It is an apparition," and they cried aloud, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage, it is I, have no fear." And he got up into the boat with them, and the wind abated. At this they were very much amazed within themselves, for they had not grasped the meaning of the loaves, but their hearts continued dull of understanding. And when they got across to land, they came into Gennesaret and anchored the ship nearby. But as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized him, and they ran around all that region and started to carry about on cots those who were ailing to where they heard he was. And wherever he would enter into villages or cities or countryside, they would place the sick ones in the marketplaces, and they would plead with him that they might touch just the fringe of his outer garment. And as many as did touch it were made well. That's the end of Mark 6. And that's the end of our study. Little children. I was working a lot today on trying to install a version of Windows using UTM. In Mac OS, and I spent quite a few hours on it and did not succeed. And I don't know if it was, or if it's going to be worthwhile to actually complete that, or whether we should just wait for someone else to provide a free program that can allow us to run Windows on Apple Silicon. But be that as it may, the only way I could do what I did today was because I felt secure enough and knew that I had the time that I could spend on it. And that hasn't happened for a long time. I've been so busy with so many other things, I haven't had time to be able to work on installing software like that, which is very time consuming. So I was glad that I had time today to try that. And I successfully downloaded from UUP, the website UUP. There's something else to it, to the web name, to the website name, other than UUP. But it's UUP, basically, is the basic part of the name. And you can download Windows from that website. Unfortunately, it doesn't have any authorization from Microsoft. But in order to download that successfully, I had to download and correct the errors at least five different things. And each one of them required Google research. You know, it required a lot of research in all to get it finally downloaded. And then when I did download it, it doesn't work, so far anyway. So there are a lot of variables involved in people's different OS versions, and many of these things are so new that they're not developed yet. These facilities are not fully developed. You have to do a lot of troubleshooting when you install things. It's only rewarding, though, when you finally achieve the installation and, you know, you get the benefits of it. But anyway, we'll see how that goes in the future. So for today, for me, I love you. And have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening and watching. And I do hope you enjoyed it. It's a pleasure to read the scriptures always for me. I wish I could read more fluently and with fewer errors, but I do the best I can. And I did prepare all the scriptures today. I just didn't have as much time to prepare as sometimes, but it's nonetheless, it's good to have done it. It's now time. It's June 6th, 2023, 18:53 hours, Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green saying, have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah, seek first the kingdom, so that the necessary things may be added to you. And seek to draw closer to Jesus in your understanding of Him. And for me, it is Crow. And Star saying bye for now.